Mark, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Good. Now you're a young 36, man. You're ripped. You're a huge guy. But, you know, that extra year of training, what's your mindset? Are you gonna finish, I guess, what you started this year and the last few years? Are you planning on competing next year?
Yeah, that's the plan at the moment. We don't really know what's going to come of the next year and a half. You know, the IOC has said that they're going to move the Olympics to, you know, most likely summer 2021 is how it seems to be shaping up. But there's a lot of, you know, qualification stuff that would have to happen before that, and training camps and, you know, travel and so on and so forth. So I have to kind of just wait until that's all been sorted out. And then, you know, I have to, you know, see how that's all going to look and how my wife and I can manage that throughout another year and a half. So my goal is, yeah, to keep on pushing on. But, you know, there are some new realities that have entered the equation. And, you know, I'm just going to have to sort through that and hopefully get to Tokyo at some point.
Okay. I know you were in Florida. You came back to Canada now. So is that where you do most of your training, is in Florida?
I wouldn't say most of it, but from, I guess, mid-November until, you know, usually the end of April, we're there most of the time.
Okay.
Just because the lakes in Canada freeze up and we need to find a place to paddle. So, but after that, I'm between Halifax and Quebec City in the summer.
Okay. So when you're a sprint canoeist, a lot of your training, how much of it is in the canoe compared to how much is in the gym or just, I guess, out of the water?
It's a lot in my boat. You know, in the winter months, we'll be home for, you know, half of December and most of January. And that's where we start to, you know, do mostly weights and other cross training things. The last couple of years, I managed to actually paddle on the ocean. So, I was on the water all year. But yeah, it's usually like 3 or 4 weight sessions a week. And then, you know, I don't even know how many we do, but it'd probably be 6, 7, 8, 9 on-water sessions.
Okay.
So yeah, it's predominantly paddling.
Olympian Mark DeJong joins us. Of course, the 2020 Tokyo Olympics have been postponed until 2021. No exact set timeline on when they're going to return, but we hope for all the athletes it is there the next time. So what got you in originally to being a paddler? Did you do it your whole life growing up in Halifax? When did you get in?
No, so my family moved back and forth between Calgary and Halifax. And on one of these occasions, we moved back to Halifax. And my parents just, you know, we were next to a canoe club where we lived. And they figured they'd sign me up. And I'd be a little better off going for a camping trip with my dad that summer. And, you know, obviously things sort of took off from there and I took it pretty seriously. So that was back in 1997, and I've been doing it ever since.
Okay. So what makes a good canoeist in your eyes?
Well, for my event, canoeing is kind of a catch-all term, I guess you could call it, for canoeing and kayaking. I'm a kayaker, a sprint kayaker, to be more specific. And my event is, you know, usually I compete in the 200-meter sprint, which is about a 34-second long sprint. So that's a little bit more, you know, you're going all out. You go as hard as you can right off the start, and you're doing that for the entire race. So that, you know, takes a lot of, you know, fast twitch muscle, a lot of power, a lot of technical expertise and just, you know, sort of mental execution to make sure that everything goes well. And this season I'm doing a 500-meter race. So it's about a minute and 20 seconds. So it's a little bit more mixed in that you have to do a whole lot of different training to be good at that. So, it basically takes a whole bunch of different components all coming together.
Like the 500, to me, I would probably compare that maybe to a 400-meter sprint on the ground. It's like the worst race because it's not like the sprint is sure just power, right? 100, 200 meters, yeah, you get gas. But once you get to the 4 or the 800, you're almost sprinting at the almost the same pace just for longer. So your muscle endurance is definitely huge. Now, you know, I've seen pictures of you, Mark. Obviously, you know, you're well put together guy, big guy. How much, and this might sound strange in the kayak, because we see, you know, we see the upper half of you. You're sitting down, you know, your arms are going crazy. How much strength comes from your legs, or is it mainly your upper body that's got to be your main source of power?
It is mainly your upper body. We do like full body weights, you know, squats, power cleans, that sort of thing. But our focus is mainly on sort of bench pull, bench press. Bench pull being a bit of an oddball exercise outside of canoe kayak. But if you imagine lying on the bench press with your chest on the bench and pulling the bar upwards, that would be bench pull. But yeah, the lower body does do quite a lot. I don't see it as being necessarily a limiting factor in the whole chain of movement. So your legs don't have to be super strong. But, you know, they have to be as strong or stronger than your abs, for example, which have to carry that force all the way up your body.
Yeah, okay. Olympian Mark DeJong joins us. Now, you mentioned the bench pull. So I just want to visualize it. So do you lay down and you have your head over the end of the bench? Like, how much of your body is over the bench so you can pull up the bar?
So we have, like, specialized bench pull equipment. So there's a little hole cut out for your face. But, yeah, your whole body is lying on the bench. You know, your forehead down to your chest, your thighs, and your feet. Mm-hmm. And you're reaching down. The bench pull, I should say, is probably about like 3.5-4 feet high. So you're reaching down and holding just a normal barbell and pulling it upward towards the bench.
Oh, okay. So I guess it's just more of a deep version than it eliminates when you're doing like a bent over row. This is just like a more in depth and eliminates you using other parts of your body. Just really strengthens the upper body.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So like a bent over row, the limiting factor there might be in you know, your lower back, and you might not be able to lift as much as you would lying down. So this kind of just isolates more of just the pure pulling muscles in the back. If anyone's interested, there are some videos, I think on Instagram on my profile, of me lifting some weight, but, yeah, it's kind of an oddball exercise, I guess. I think it should be in more gyms than what you find.
Oh, no, I'm fascinated by it. We do a lot of, workout stuff on this show with trainers, and honestly, I've never heard of that one. So I'm going to have to, check out your Instagram to see that. I'm just curious to see what the apparatus looks like and that you can lift that. Like, how much, like, for you now, you're obviously an Olympian, but like, how much are you doing on a bench pull?
So bench pull has almost become like a second sport in our training. We compare, you know, top speed on the water, and we also compare how much and how fast you can pull your bench pull. So we do a lot of power testing using a GymAware, which is a device that you can hook up to the bar and see how fast you're pulling the bar. And once you can combine that with the weight that you're moving, you can figure out, you know, power output and things like that. So we do like 1RM stuff. And in that case, I'm lifting somewhere between like 155 to 160 kilos.
Yeah, kilos, because I'm looking at your bar. I pulled it up as we're talking, Mark. And so you've got, it looks like you've got 3 45-pound plates on each side, and then another 25, if I'm not mistaken, plus the bar.
Yeah.
That's like you're doing like 385 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, geez. Yeah. It's like another sport for us. So we take it pretty seriously. We lift a lot of weight. But then we also lift lighter weight. So we'd lift like 80 or 90 kilos, but we'd lift that really, really fast. And we'd basically just smash it into the bench itself.
Right.
So we do a lot of testing for, you know, how fast you can move that bar with 80, 90, all the way up to 120 kilos.
Okay.
And then we'll do power endurance testing. So we can do tests that are 15 reps long at 80 or 90 kilos. And then we'll also do tests that are 30 reps long at 60 kilos. And we look at the graph to see how our power is dropping off as we complete those reps. And we're always trying to have higher power and holding that power for longer.
So you, when you take it as a kayaker, you know, your core and your upper body is huge for you. Most people have one arm that's more dominant than the other. So when you're going that fast, how do you ensure that you stay straight? Because I would just think naturally, like obviously you're trying to equal out your power, but people will train a long time and there's always one side that's never the same, right? Whether you're right hand or left handed dominant, it always seems like it's above. Are yours even? Are you ambidextrous? How have you gotten it so when you're going that fast in a sprint that you go straight?
Well, we do have a rudder that we can control with our feet. But I don't know. I guess I just spend enough time in the boat that hasn't really become much of an issue.
Okay.
You know, we're spending like in like a heavy block of training, we're on the water for maybe 4 hours a day. And I've been doing that for, I guess, 23 years now. So
4 hours a day.
Yeah. Like in a heavy block of training, we're training like, I don't know, 18 to over 25 hour weeks, maybe.
Okay.
It's not something I've really kept track of too much, but we usually train 2 to 3 times a day. And that will be probably 2 paddles and a weight or 2 paddles. It's kind of, I guess at a young age, once you work out those kinks, then you're setting some good habits that you just keep on carrying through where those imbalances don't really seem to be much of an issue.
Marc DeJong joins us, Olympian for Canada. Now, you debuted in London in 2012. I think that was the first time for the kayak sprint, the K200, and you medaled in it. Now, here we are 8 years later. How much different has the sport changed and evolved and become more competitive from when you were there in the first games in 2012?
I don't really know. I see the same people back in 2012 winning now.
Okay.
With the exception of myself, I had not an awesome Olympics at 2016, so I approached things a little differently the last few years. So my plan this year was to peak for 2020 and
yes,
really see the fruits of that plan come together, but it'll have to wait another year. But yeah, for the most part, you see the same guys doing well. So that's encouraging, and that's, I'm coming back in a year where I still feel like I can beat these guys. I think things have, you know, got a little bit more refined with training and just how people approach the event. But it's always been an event. It just hasn't been an Olympic event. So people, you know, back in, you know, I remember going to Worlds in 2005 and watching the 200-meter sprint. They were still fast back then, but obviously 2012 was more of the turning point where people were able to train for it full time.
So you talked about how you wanted to peak for 2016, and you were right on course for that. Now everything's changed, Mark. So the last one I have for you is, how can you refocus that? How much of a challenge is that physically and mentally to now have to extend that to a fifth year, especially when you don't really know where you're going to be? And potentially, like, I don't know for a canoeist or a kayaker, because you're kind of training solo on the water, that maybe you can still do a lot of it, or is this going to impact your training significantly over the next few months?
I guess we'll have to see what happens with this whole situation first. Right now I can't train. Like I'm actually like basically in lockdown in my house for 2 weeks because I came back from Florida.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it might be a good thing because it's unlikely that there's going to be many big competitions this year. So we can just focus on training for 2021 instead of training for, you know, things this summer and, you know, just have a bit more of a long game. And I think that as a result, the summer might be a little more laid back than what it typically is. And I'm looking forward to that. And at least we could have a little bit of a low point so that we can start to ramp up to Tokyo instead of already starting pretty high and just trying to squeeze out everything we can.
Mark, I really appreciate you taking the time. You know, sorry for the cancellation. I know obviously there's bigger things in the world going on right now, but for the Olympians, well, to dedicate 4 years of your life for one specific thing is extremely challenging. Kudos to you, and hopefully we see you back on the podium in 2021.
Well, that would be great. Yeah, thanks for having me.